as you look at the PowerPoint overhead, we have seen this PowerPoint off and on the whole last year. It's a PowerPoint that Chuck Pierce did sing that the year that started about this season last year was 5775, and now we're leaving that series, and many of us can testify that that last year has been very intense. Has it been for you all? And during that intense time, the Lord said, I want you to embrace the whirlwind, the things that are chaotic, frustrating, causing you to be shaken. I want you to embrace it by the word of the Lord, because that is Jesus written down. He is our water. He is our life. And as we do that, it brings purpose and unity in us and to the body of Christ. Now I want to introduce you to a new picture that I believe I will be using a lot this year that is saying, let's now secure the gates of our future. Are you ready? I think out of this year of intensity, it's time to become stable and to close the gates that have caused us problems these last year. As we look here, this next Jewish year is 5776, and it starts in this season. Look in the left hand and you see a hammer of force. Have you felt hammered in your past with lies that told you you're not enough, you can't succeed, there's something wrong with you that can't be changed, you're unworthy, you're not all that is needed? We've all been hammered with some kind of lies saying that we're less than we should be. The line of Judah wants to be your new hammer. The line of Judah wants to be your new hammer to overcome those things that you've been beat down by. That in the left hand, in the right hand, holding a golden stake that says, let's nail down, let's open up, let's demolish all of those strongholds that have kept you locked into the enemy's castle. Into the enemy's castle of darkness, of hopelessness, being subjected to things you have been overwhelmed by. He says, let's drive a stake in it, and by the resurrection power, we will open these gates, and we will occupy and overcome. Hallelujah. So it's time to occupy and overcome no matter what happens this year. It doesn't matter what happens this year. If we focus on the kingdom's government, and you say, I don't know about this word government. Our government's in a whole big mess. Don't like the word government. Government represents authority, and many of us have been abused by authority, deceived by authority. But God says, if you will embrace my government, my authority, which I gained, looking back here, we see the cross. He said, at the cross, and I resurrected, and the Father said, I give you all authority over heaven and earth. Now, if you will embrace my authority, I will use the imperfections, and we will rule and reign, not only in your life, but on this earth. Isn't that good news? Okay, his word says in Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government is a good word. It means authority, it means rule, it means victory, if we hook into the right authority. He said the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father of Eternity, and Prince of Peace. Do you know that the government of God and the Prince of Peace are linked together and cannot be separated? And I'm going to concentrate today on the government and touch on the peace and be talking about the peace in the future. Because everybody, no matter what their ideology is, wants peace. And only the one whose government is upon his shoulders can give peace, because peace is a person. Peace is a person, and it's in Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Back in the Garden of Eden, in the beginning, Father said, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit loved being a family, loved loving each other, and had tremendous peace and love. And they said, we want to share that with others. We want to extend our family. So in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve and Jesus, there was no animosity among the animals. Everybody was at peace and enjoying the family. And God's government and peace represents His presence. His presence, which is an intimate fellowship with Him, walking and talking and conversing and interacting with Him, who is living in you. If He's your Savior, He comes to live in you, and He wants to conversate with you all day long. Be your inner companion. And when you observe His government, you're under His protection. And in the beginning, Adam and Eve were fellowshipping under His protection, and they trusted Him. But they were children in an adult body. Each person here came into this world as a little baby. They came into the world as adults. So emotionally, they hadn't learned to trust their God. And so when the enemy comes up and says, I think God, I don't know whether you can trust Him or not. Because there's two trees here, and God says, don't eat from one of them. I bet you He's trying to deny you of something. So when the teenagers today, the adults of today, the older people of today are tempted by the enemy saying, hey, the culture says the stand for righteousness you're taking, God's trying to deny you of something. Go out in the world of drugs and immorality and the fast track and see if it doesn't give you a thrill like you want. Now, God had to give us a choice to have a bride and sons and daughters that love us. It's the only way. It's the only way. Otherwise, we'd be robots. And He wanted a relationship with a family. And so, therefore, He had to give a choice. And He said, the government in the beginning was just one thing. Just don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and blessing and calamity. Don't eat of it. Just one governmental structure to guide them in the right way. Everything in this garden you can eat, just not that one. We're all tested. And we know that they sinned. They decided that they would not trust God. They decided that, yeah, He must be trying to deny and keep us from something good. We can't trust Him. Let's do it ourselves. Have you ever gotten impatient with the people you're working with because they don't do it the way you want them to, and you just push in there and take over and get it done right? And so that was born in us at that time. I can just do it myself better than you, and I don't want to put up with you and your slowness and all this. It's called rebellion, and it's called pride, and it's called fear, and it's called selfishness. So because God loves us so much, he said, well, I gave them one commandment and they blew it. Now, looks like they are really going down the slippery path of destruction. They're dying quicker and quicker and quicker inside. They don't see the truth. They're believing the lies. So I'm going to give them 10 governmental protective laws to say, don't do this. Don't do this. You're destroying yourself. So he gave them 10 laws. And the first 4 you see here are about our relationship with him. Because if we don't get that right, we're doomed anyway. So he said, okay, the first one, don't have any other gods before me. And then he said, thou shalt not make any graven images. Then he said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. Then he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then he took the first relationship that any of us ever experience. And that's with our parents and our family of origin. And I don't know about you, but when we begin to really deal with our family stuff, it can get hairy. It can be upsetting. And it can be messy. But unless we learn to deal with our family stuff, I guarantee you, you're not going to really know who you are. You're not going to have freedom. And you're not going to have the liberty and the abundant life that God wants you to have. Now, he said, I want you to honor your father and mother. Now, he's not saying, you said, but you just don't know my parents. You're right, I don't. And there is not a parent alive that's perfect. And some are lots worse than others. And that's a fact. God didn't say honor their behavior. He didn't say honor what they did. He said honor the position I put them in your life. And allow me to use it to cause you to rise up and have victory over the things that the enemy has been trying to hammer you to death and stab the life out of you. He said, if you'll let me do that, it will go well with you. This 10 commandments that I read was in the Old Testament. God repeats it in the New Testament and adds to it. In Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor, not their behavior, not what they're saying, doing, maybe even living. He didn't say agree with them. He said, honor the position I put them in your life. Because I am the God that parted the Red Sea. I stopped the sun and moon. I can take the horrendous things they've done in your life and part the waters of your heart and bring liberty and turn it for good. That's an amazing God. He says, honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Why would it be well with you? Because you're willing to deal with the stuff. That's what I like about relationship church. We're willing to be relational. We're willing to be vulnerable. We're willing to be transparent. And say, I want to grow no matter what kind of stuff it means that I have to look at and deal with. Because I want to be free. I want to not be hammered by the enemy. I want to draw a new stake in my life that releases me in his power. I have drawn here an umbrella protection, and the umbrella protection means that if I stay in His presence and I honor His government, His rulership, His reign. His government means He reigns now in heaven and earth, and He's waiting for you and I to say, Your will, not my will. And as we say, I embrace Your government, that is Your rule and reign, then we will take back this earth. But we'll take back our own heart first, because remember I said that the government and peace are linked together in such a way that you can't separate it. And as we look at the first relationship, which is the family and the home, God's first, the husband gives direction and leadership, and the wife is the heart of the home, helping him to feel things he's never felt before, and supporting and encouraging. And the children are under they're the last under the umbrella, because they need to learn to trust and honor in this situation. And if you don't learn to love and trust and work out the nuances of irritations and stuff in the family, baby, when you get married, you just got twice as much to deal with. And if you don't work out it then, you got three or four times as much to deal with. I know that one of my sons was irritated by a brother as they grew up, and I couldn't seem to make this point until I said, if you don't learn to deal with this now, you're very likely going to marry somebody with the personality of your brother. That got their attention. So as we stay in divine order, as I told you last time I talked, I did not know this as I grew up. I obeyed my father out of fear. I guess that's better than disobeying, because I did not know this principle, and I didn't know it or learn it until I was 30 years old. And then I realized, because I did not know how to look through my mother and her faults, my daddy and his faults, and know that I'm responding to God here. It's God that I respond to. And the way I feel about my father, the way I feel about my mother, is the way I feel about God if I don't take it to Him and get my heart cleansed and purified. And cleansing, judgment starts in our heart, because that's the only thing we really have control over, is our choice. And as we'll let judgment start in our heart will be cleansed. And then we can look through at our mother, our father, and we can see their weaknesses and their strengths, and we can learn to respectfully honor them as unto the Lord, because it's the Lord we're trusting, not them. And God will show us a path of victory. Now, in Psalms 115:8 is a sobering psalm to me that says, they who make idols are like them, so are all those who trust and rely on them. Now, I want to read and expand that just a little bit farther. O Israel, and Israel here, there's a physical Israel and there's a spiritual Israel. And if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're a spiritual Israel. O Israel, trust and take refuge in the Lord. Lean on, rely on, and be confident in Him. He's their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, the priesthood, you're now a priest. You can go to Him directly and talk to Him 24/7. Trust and lean on the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who reverently fear the Lord, trust and lean on the Lord. He is their help and shield. He will bless those who reverently and worshipfully fear the Lord, both great and small. The Lord give you increase more and more, and you and your children. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he's given to the children of men. Now he's provided a way of walking in righteousness and justice and peace on this earth, but it means embracing his government, his authority, his reign, and letting the peace of Prince of Peace rule in us. That's the way we take back the earth. Now let's apply this to the Ten Commandments again. Thou shalt have no other gods before them. If I decide, and I haven't dealt with issues, let's say in our parents' lives, our in-laws' lives, our siblings' lives, our extended family, name them, whoever. If we decide, have you ever thought, I'll not be like that person? Not going to be like that. Have you ever thought that? You've seen somebody that's ugly and nasty and doesn't do what you want them to do, and you say inside, I won't be like that. Guess what? If you try to do it in your own strength and you don't deal with your own heart in judgment, you have put another God before you, and that God is one that says, I will not be like that. You've set yourself up as God just like Adam and Eve did and said, in my own strength and in my own power, I will not be like that. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You'll become like what you hate, just a different flavor and a different color and a different face. I've seen it over and over. The next one says, thou shalt not take unto thee any graven image. It's hard work to trust a God you can't touch, isn't it? You can see him in nature. You can feel his presence sometimes. But it's hard to trust an invisible God. And so that if you decide you're going to do this yourself, you've set another God before you, and it's yourself. You're going to do it in your own strength, by golly. And then you've made a graven image that's that person you're not going to be like, that you're becoming like, if you try to not be like in your own strength. And then the third one, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. How's that work? You have Jesus in you. And he says, let me be your power. Let me be your peace. Let me change your heart. And you take his name in vain because you say you're a Christian, but you're not living in his power. You've just got your ticket to heaven, but you're not letting him judge and cleanse you as a way of life. Then the fourth one, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Hebrews 4:3-4 says, you are to live in the Sabbath rest 24/7, 7 days a week. And if you don't do that, you are not remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy. He says, Hebrews 3:4, I have a peace for you. If you will embrace it, you can have it now 24/7. So, Galatians 6:7-8 is very sobering. It says, do not be deceived. God's not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. It is true, you can't live the Christian life. He never said you could. But he always said he would if you would let him. If you would let him. And if you don't let him and you live in the flesh, you'll reap it. And it's not a pretty picture. It's not a pretty picture at all. God wants to set us free. He wants to establish his government in us. That means letting him rule and reign 24/7. And letting his peace be our peace, the Prince of Peace. Let's look at a biblical example. Remember from Mark 4, 35 through 41, on the same day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great storm arose, and the waves beat upon the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a leather pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" How many of us have said in a tight place, "Jesus, don't you care that I'm perishing? Don't you care that I hurt? Don't you care that I'm afraid? That I'm angry? That I'm upset? Don't you care, God?" Haven't we all, at time, in one way or another? And we're just like these disciples, that Jesus is sound asleep. He's entered that rest of Hebrews 3 and 4 that we're told to diligently strive after. And so they wake him up and they say, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? What have you got to be angry about? What are you frustrated about? What are you confused about? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" That's the government of our God. He's on the throne. He's in charge. All authority has been given to him in heaven and earth. All he needs is your saying yes. Rule and reign in me, and let your peace arise. I would like for you to look at this picture. It's a picture that represents Genesis 1:2. In the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. There's dark places in all of us, places we don't know that are dark, and we don't know why we feel anger many times. We don't know why we feel fear, or there's chaos or frustration, and we just want it to change, or we want to fix somebody else that we think's the problem. But we can't fix anything except our heart. It has to start there. That's the only thing we have control over, is our own heart. Are you game to do that? I will share with you something that I've been practicing and I believe is true and real and a way. When you feel the anger, when you feel fear, chaos, confusion, a drive to control somebody else or to fix somebody else or to change someone else, I ask you to drop down into his presence. Drop down into his presence. Stop the cycle of fear. Stop the cycle of anger, chaos, confusion. If need be, take a deep breath and drop down into the boat in your own soul. And get in touch with the Prince of Peace. Drop down into His presence. And remember, if you've received Jesus as your Savior, He's living in you. He is the Prince of Peace. You stop and you drop down into Him. If need be, think about the boats that I showed you. There's the fear. But then you remember, what did Jesus do? Jesus stood up and He said, "Peace, be still." So as you drop down into His presence, you visualize Jesus standing up in the kingdom of God that's within you and saying, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." And you stay there, visualizing Him, the Prince of Peace, standing up in the boat of your heart until He's your focus. He's your God. He's ruling and reigning. And then you say, "Now release your peace in me. Now let your peace swallow up my anger, my fear, my chaos, my confusion, my desire to control, fix, or change another." Stay there however long it takes. Whether it's at work, you can simply close your eyes and drop down, stopping the anger, the fear, to the kingdom of God that's within you. And sang, "Prince of Peace, rise in the storm of my life and release your peace." And then, whomever you would like to kill, mash the delete button, wish wasn't there. Say, "Jesus, I forgive that person for pushing my buttons." Years ago, I wanted to mash the delete button in someone's life that was very close to me, but I knew I couldn't. And every time I would rise up in anger, fear, trying to control, change, and I tried all that stuff, it just didn't work. And when I would talk to God about it, in this place of peace, He would say, "Doreen, if what is it you hate about this person?" I'd say, "They're selfish. They want to be in control. They want to be the center of attention." And He said, "If you continue in the way you're going to be just like that." Oh God, we've got a lot to work to do. And so I would say, "Okay, God." In other words, the focus is to be me, not them, and work on that I don't do what I see that person doing. And I do it with a different face and a different name and a different flavor. And He said, "You got it right." I think, okay, I keep my focus on me and you because we got lots of work to do. And I won't tell you how many years it took me to get complete victory over that because it would discourage you. I am trusting that time is accelerating now and there will be suddenlies that you can do it quicker. But there was a day that God says, "I'm through using that person in your life." It was not quite audible, but it was so loud I thought it was audible. And you know what my immediate reaction was? Guess they're going to die. Guess they're going to die real soon. And so I thought about that for 3 days. God, does that mean they're going to die real soon? Do I need to make burial arrangements? And finally, I decided to check it out with DeWitt. And I said, DeWitt, let me tell you, this is what I'm thinking about and what I heard. What do you think? He said, well, I guess they're going to die. I thought, okay, here we go. So I watched, and I won't tell you again how much time went by, but a lot of time went by, and they didn't die. But I had been cleansed within because I chose to forgive that person. Now, forgiveness is a choice, but healing is a process. And if your emotions are not healed, you won't mature in that area. And so that means when you drop down into His presence, you see Jesus as the captain of your boat, ruling and reigning in government there. You tap into His supernatural peace, and you say, Jesus, I choose to forgive them, but You're the only one who can heal my emotions. I invite You to go through that memory, go through that pain. I ask You to go to that memory, go to that pain, and You go through it. And You stay there as long as You need to, letting Him swallow up the pain. Letting Him swallow up the anger, the fear, the frustration, and the chaos. You stay there inviting Jesus to go to that memory. And don't be afraid to go to it with Him. Because He, when you invite Him there, is going to swallow it up. As you stay there and let Him go through it. And then you'll be free. You'll be free to walk with that person with a new liberty of His government, not your frustration. I challenge you today, as I'm challenging myself, in Genesis 1:2, where it says, the earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great. But the Spirit of God was moving, hovering over the face of the waters. And God says, let there be light, and there was light. There's nothing too big, too gross, too dark in your life that if you turn loose to the Prince of Peace who holds the world that you're on by the power of His Word. Our God holds this world right now. He's the one that holds it. He created it and He holds it together. Now, will you give Him your heart when He is this powerful to give you liberty and change whatever you feel is impossible? Because you and I are learning to trust Him, which Adam and Eve didn't. We're learning to trust the God of heaven and earth. Not live in our own strength, not live in our own power, not do it ourselves, but lay our life down. He laid His life down that you might know Him, His government, and the Prince of Peace. Now, will we lay our life down and do it His way so that He can rule and reign in us? And when we do, rivers of living water will begin to come up in your kingdom of God within, and you can go to even the deep places where waters hadn't run before and push into Him in the hard places that you've not wanted to go into, and let Him unlock treasures that you didn't even know there. I can say today, the most difficult people in my life, I can say now, were God's treasures. As I pushed into Him to go deep, staying in fellowship with Him, letting Him be my peace, that there's greater healing waters flowing than ever, and the people I would have liked to deleted are now treasures that I've allowed Him to arise and let His living waters flow. Now, we've been promised over and over and over that a great revival is coming. In order to be a part of that revival and to gather the wheat and the harvest that he wants you and I to have, and there's a part that only you can get because he specially designed you to be part of the harvest. But it means letting his government, that means his will, rule and reign in you, and know the things that he says don't do is not because he's trying to take the fun out of your life. It's because he's trying to protect you from evil so that you can walk in freedom and have the capacity to be one of many harvest bearers who he's excited about that he wants to do in and through you. Are you ready to embrace him in this new year of the Jewish New Year of 5776, where we break through and occupy by his resurrection power? Father God, I thank you that you're a father. I thank you that your plan is perfect for each one of us.